I remember the first time that I call them the boys. Lindsay's come and sing. They stayed with me. I made an outline out of that event. They come in at midnight, kept me up to morning, went downstairs and run off all my materials, stole my messages, come to church and took over the meeting. Then they took them up a big offer and they drove off with my money. People that's buying, I thought there's rock stars out there. They're buying every tape they had, CD. What got me, Sister Patsy, when they pulled out my driveway, the $20 bills was blowing out the window. I said, I made a major mistake. No, part of it, I'm kidding. But, glad the Lord could let us all get together and just have a good time. You never know what He's got in mind in a service. I always come. I'm not able, not gifted to play an instrument per se in actuality. I got envious of these fellows that could and bought me a guitar. It's up for sale. But in my heart, my favorite instrument is a violin. And in my heart, every time I go to church, that's what I take with me. I take my violin. And what I try to do is I try to play on the chords of my heart and find out what tune, where the pitch is, where God's at. I just want to hit His chord. Sometimes that means preaching. Sometimes it don't mean preaching. Sometimes it means preaching the sermon I come with a thought to preach, and sometimes it means preaching one that I hadn't even thought of, or sometimes it means just open the Bible and go at it. But I like to stay in chord with heaven, don't you? And that's what we're here for, just to worship Him. John's Gospel and chapter number 1, and we'll start reading there. In verse number 45, John's Gospel, chapter number 1, and verse, well, we'll begin in verse number 43. We began last night preaching on the disciples, that which we have titled the Training of the 12. And aren't you glad that Jesus is in the business of doing the training? And it's not left up to you and I to take the authority and usurp the authority over somebody's life. But just point them to Jesus and He'll get them trained just right. And I think about those 12 and I subtitled it Mission Impossible because it just seemed that Jesus had chosen the wrong men for this task. He came into this world to create a glorious gospel with enough power to save sinners. He did so by His life of perfection, by His death of substitution, by His powerful resurrection and ascension and intercession at the right hand of the Father. And He took that great glorious news, good news, and He put it into the hearts of these men. They began to proclaim it even down to this day. And if you're here and you're saved because you heard that message that Christ put in their hearts, and it is now in our hearts. And He wanted to use these men. He wants to use you and me. We're not just looking at men that lived 2,000 years ago, but we're realizing that the Lord has chosen faulty vessels. And all, it wasn't enough that He saved us. Yes, that'll get us to heaven. But all He has to do a work on us. And aren't you glad that He didn't leave you like He was, and that He is still working, as the songwriter said, on me and on you. Yesterday or last night, we noticed Matthew and how the Lord worked on him from reputation. And boy, he had a bad one. But it brought him to salvation. To the point that he's got a gospel we read and they title it Saint Matthew. I'm glad the Lord saw me one day like no one else had seen me. And saw what he could do in a sinner's life when he saved me. What a wonderful salvation. But tonight we're going to look at Nathanael. And we're going to preach on this subject, from your world unto his world. From your world where you live, your life, your circumstances and situations, unto his world. Now let's look in verse 43. The Bible said the day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. What a profound discovery. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, is in whom is no guile or wickedness, dishonesty. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee. And here's my emphasis, this next phrase. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, notice this, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You may be seated. I'm interested in this tree that Jesus brings to the attention of Nathanael. Obviously, it's a very great part of his life. It is the place where the Scripture says that Philip finds him and makes that declaration that we've found him, whom the prophets and Moses have spoken of, Jesus of Nazareth. But it seems as though that the Lord himself magnifies this tree, this fig tree unto Nathanael. And I want to take this thought. I want to emphasize this tree. I want us to notice that it seems to be the focus of Nathanael's world. And while we're thinking about Nathanael's tree that seems to occupy his time, I want you to think about your own life and those things that seem to occupy your life. And realize that what the Lord wants to do for all of us is pull us out of our own little world and cause us to operate in his world. Reason being is because this world needs something that your world can't provide. But thank God he can provide it. So let's look at this text. There are basically three things that I want to project, I want to interest you in tonight. First of all, I want us to know the significance of this fig tree, the importance of it in Nathanael's life and in Jesus emphasizing it to him. I believe that when Philip comes to Nathanael, that it's probably the most important time in all of Israel's history. And yet, the most important time in all the history of mankind. Why? Because Jesus was here on earth. The Messiah had come. And he now was engaged in his ministry. And he was raising folks from the dead. He was giving sight to the blind. He was setting the captives free. He was doing everything that he was promised to do when he came into this world. But yet while Jesus is out there doing what the Father sent him to do, that great calling that he had, we notice that Nathanael's not out there with him. He's not even aware, really, that he is out there. And when he is told he's out there, he's sort of in doubt that because of his background, that he could be the Messiah. And what he is doing is he's being occupied. He has a fig tree. Now, what is the significance of that fig tree? In the Word of God, if you'll study it out, the fig tree represented something of a national pride. The Scripture talked about every man, and I'll read it to you, having his own fig tree. It was actually the national tree of Israel. The fig tree represented something of a personal possession. If you were anybody, after you got married, one of the first things that you would do is plant you a fig tree. And so it showed that you had status and you had begun your home and you were trying to get settled. But the fig tree was also a representation of pleasure. Now, I get that from the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter number 4, verse 25 said, "And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his fig tree." And then Micah 4, verse 4 said, "But they shall sit every man under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid." And so it seemed as though the fig tree was a tree of commonality among the children. If you was anybody, really, you had a fig tree. And so Nathanael has his fig tree. And he's out there working with that fig tree. He is under that fig tree. He's being occupied by that fig tree when Philip brings to his attention that Jesus is doing a work. But as I look at that fig tree and I see the significance of it, I'd like to say that there's nothing necessarily wrong with the tree in and of itself. But the wrong is in the fact that it seems to be keeping him from what Christ would have him to be doing. I would not stand here to say that your boat is wrong or your gun is wrong or your car is wrong or your bike is wrong or whatever it is that you like, as long as it doesn't keep you from engaging in what Christ would have you engage in a world that is of great need. And while he's working, you seem to be occupied with your own little world, or so to speak, your own little tree. And so the significance of this tree is this. It seems as though that it disconnects him from the world that was around him at that time. It had really a physical aspect to it. I noticed that was the place where he was at when Jesus recognized him. That was where he was spending his time. And I can tell you, and you can say to me also, I know where your world is, and I know how big it is by the things that you spend time on. by the things that seem to occupy you. The things that you spend your money on. Those are the things that are your world. And as again I say, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that if it doesn't keep you from realizing that there is a bigger world than yours or mine. Whatever that house may consist of, how many ever children you may have, whatever the circumstances, even sicknesses that you have to face, whatever the daily life that you have to live and the job that you have to work in, you have to realize there's a bigger picture than what's going on at your house and in your situation, and not allow your little tree, your little world, keep you from seeing that there's something out there beyond your world. There is a great need out there. There is the physical aspect of this tree. There is the mental aspect of this tree. Again, I notice in verse number 46, Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" It seems as though that he has been so locked up in his little world, in his little tree, that he doesn't even know the circumstances that are out there. And he blurts back by saying, this is what he's thinking. Oh, listen, can there any good thing come out? He's not aware of any. All he knows about is the fig tree. And that's where he's at. He knows nothing about the sorrows and the sufferings and the ministry of Christ that is out there. What's going on in the neighbor's house? What's going on in the community? What's going on around? He cannot grasp that. And it's so easy for him to dispel it and say, I don't even want to think about what is beyond my world. I have a little poem that a blind man who since went to heaven gave me, and he said I could read it. And I've pondered it many times. I'm thinking about our little world that seems to disconnect us from the world that is around us, that little fig tree. There's so much going on, but he's not a part of it. The poem goes like this: too busy to do a golden deed, too busy to lend a hand in need, too busy to read, too busy to pray, too busy to help somebody today, too busy to stop and rest a while, too busy to give a cheerful smile, too busy to make a friendly call, too busy to render service at all, too busy to have the altar at night, too busy to raise the children right, too busy to read God's holy book, too busy to stop and listen and look, too busy to see the dangers ahead, too busy to mourn for the ones that are dead, too busy to laugh, too busy to cry. But he said, we'll never ever be too busy to die. I'm emphasizing the significance of his tree. It is his world. But it seems as though that his world keeps him from realizing what's happening beyond him. It keeps him from realizing what's going on around him. Disconnects him from the world that is around him. Now, the second thing that I want to emphasize about this tree is not only the significance of it, this fig tree, but I would also emphasize the size of this fig tree. Now, I've been privileged to be in Israel and to see the fig tree. It is a very, it's a stumpy tree. It's a short tree, but it is very, very broad. And it has the leaf density is very thick, so that the sun really doesn't seem to penetrate through it. And of course, as the scripture said there in the First Kings, every man shall dwell under his fig tree. A fig tree is a good place for a man. Maybe after a hard day's work, he can go out there, get him a glass of tea, slide in under that thing and just forget about everything else except his fig tree. And he can enjoy that little environment all to himself because it is his fig tree. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that though this fig tree is a fairly large tree, at best, it would make a small, small world. Because it's really not big enough for you and anybody else. It's your every man, in a single sense, dwells under his fig tree. It won't include too many others. And it seems to emphasize that this world that he's in is a world that disconnects him from the world that is around him. But it is also a world that causes him to dedicate himself to the world that is within him. His own little world. Now, again, I say that if the fig tree, it is a fairly large tree, but it's a small world. It kind of reminds me of Noah after being on the ark for so long. Now, we all glory in that ark, and we think about the majesty of the ark and the size of that ark. But if you'll read at the end of those 300 and some days, he was sick of it. And he wanted off. That's why he sent the birds out there. And I'm going to tell you, though our worlds to us that we are so involved in, if we're not careful, though they involve so much, when you look at them, they are very, very small worlds. And if you're not careful, you'll get all hung up in your own little world. And I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It'll send you into misery and drive you insane. Yeah. You'll go crazy under your fig tree because there's nothing else under there but just that fig tree and you. You'll go there talking to yourself and mumbling after a while. It diminishes us to the world that is within us. And as long as Nathaniel stays under his tree, he'll be locked up in the limitations of his own world. Figs, oh listen. If you want to talk about figs, he can tell you all you want to know about figs. Because he's been under his fig tree, he's studied his fig tree, he's fertilized his fig tree. He's watched his fig tree. He's worried about his fig tree. He don't want nothing to happen to his fig tree. It's all his little world. But it's boring. If all you're concerned about is what goes on in your life, you're boring. And I'll tell you something else. That's why the grand youngins don't come by. Why? Because all you've got's fig stories, and they've gotten tired of it. You imagine running into Nathaniel and said, "Oh, here he comes. Oh, I know all he's going to talk about them figs. He's running me crazy." "How you doing, Nathaniel?" "Doing great. I'm telling you what, doing great. You know what? I had 3 fig leaves blow off last week, scaring me to death. I've been working and digging under it and fertilizing it, and man, I'm telling you, I brought off a fig you wouldn't believe. It was as long as my finger, that them figs." And you're saying, yeah. Huh? If all you've got to talk about is what's happened in your little world, honey, it's a boring situation. And nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody wants to, they don't want to hear it again. They know it's going to be a repeat. "Hey, I worked 45 years down there. I remember one time the boss down there said, 'All right, Grandpa, we've heard that.'" That's all right. If that's all you got to tell, we're tired of it. I preached this here a while back, and I don't know, I was grumbling one day and telling the story. My wife said, "There's another one of them fig stories." Your aches and your pains and what's happening to your tree and what's happening to your figs. And it's a boring situation. Yeah. Yeah. He's locked up into the limitations of what he knows. What's he know? He knows figs, but don't talk to him about miracles. Don't talk to him about raising the dead. Don't talk to him about walking on water and healing the sick. Don't talk to him about that. He don't know anything about it. He don't have time. But if you come by, we'll talk about figs. We'll talk about what's happening down on my block. We'll talk about what's happening at my house. We'll talk about what's happening at my church. We'll talk about what's happening in my world. Is that all you've got to offer, Nathaniel? You're not going to help anybody else if your little fig tree's all you've got to offer. He's locked up in his own little world or his own little limitations, and he's locked up in his own little theories and ideas and philosophies. He's locked up in his own traditions, I guess you'd say. Well, isn't it easy just to throw everything off because of what you think you know? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know what I think about what you said. I really don't care much about it. Excuse me, I got to get another fig. Don't knock no leaves off, Philip, when you lay as you're leaving, because I don't want to lose no leaves and get no sun in here. And I don't want to do none of that. But I'll just tell you what I believe. I just believe that you can't believe because I heard my daddy say when I was a kid, I heard him say under this very same fig tree what he said. He said, there ain't nobody good in Nazareth. And I just believe what my daddy said. Get out from under your tree and quit listening to what everybody's told you through the years under your tree. And realize there's some truth out there better than what you've been taught. Philip said, why? The Son of God, the He's here, the one tomorrow. He said, I don't know about that. I just ain't got time for that kind of thinking. No, because you're locked up in your own little boring world. And all you want to talk about is your little figs. The ones that fell off and the ones you ate and the leaves. Oh, storm come through here the other day, Philip. And I just thought, I hate to interrupt you about the Messiah. I know you can finish that after a while. But I tell you, the storm come through here and I thought it was going to blow all the leaves off. Amazing. They wasn't none hardly blowed off. Now, what was you talking about? Now, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted you to know I've been through a storm here come through lately and blowed through here. I'm telling you, I was afraid I was going to lose a leaf or two, maybe a fig and everything. But now, what was you talking about? Some Messiah doing something out there? What was that? Huh? Got no time to hear about what the Lord's doing in His world for somebody in their world because you're too wrapped up in your own little world. And I'm going to tell you something. That's where mental problems come from. If all you can think about is what you're facing every day and what's happening on the job every day, what's happening in the community every day, and what's happening to your children every day, got good news, bad news, you're going crazy! Huh? His world seemed to disconnect him from the world that was beyond him. But it also seemed to diminish him to a little world that was within him, to all he had to talk about. He didn't know nothing any more than figs. Boring. And I can say that about evangelism. I mean, if all I got to talk to you about is where I preach and what I preach and the churches I preach in, you ain't going to want to come around. Boring. I don't want my youngins, grand youngins running from me every time I start to tell them something. Children, come, let me tell you about the time the wheel come off the wagon. Oh, that's all right, Grandpa. We heard that one. We don't ever have. Let me tell you about the one where I went and preached to that church and they didn't give me no offer. Oh, that's all right, preacher. Don't worry about that. We don't want to hear that. Did I ever tell you the story about that? Yeah, you told us that. Well, you told us that. Matter of fact, you've told us 10,000 times. And we know you're going to tell us again, but please make it short.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into people like that? I know, I pastored them. I learned when they come through the door. I did not ask them how they were doing. I didn't want to hear that same story again. Oh, preacher, I tell you what, if you just know what I've been through down at my house. The problem's not what's going on down at your house. The problem is that's all you've got. You haven't thought about anybody else's houses. Have you ever thought about what might be going on in somebody else's circumstance? Get out and under your tray! I notice the significance of this tree. I notice the size of this tree. But I want us to move over and look at verse number 50. And I want you to see with me what I call the surrender of this tree. The surrender of this tree. You see, no matter what size your tree is, you're not going to be able to stretch it to be able to include the world that needs help. You're not going to be able to share your world with everybody else. As a matter of fact, it won't help him anyway. I mean, if he had enough figs to give everybody in the world a fig, well, it ain't going to help him. All they got's a fig. Won't even stop starvation, let alone bring salvation. One leaf? Come on by. I'll give you one leaf and a fig. One leaf and a fig. What good is that? I got one leaf and a fig. And if you eat the fig, then the next day you're going to need something else. What you've got in your own little world ain't going to help this big old world. You don't have enough. But notice the surrender of this fig tree. Notice what he says in verse number 50. Look at it there. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. You know what he just said? You know what he's saying to him? Well, look on to the next verse. He said, here's what you're going to see. Hey, Nathaniel. If I can get you out from under your fig tree, you're going to see some things, buddy. Don't have to worry about fig stories, that's for sure. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. How's he going to see that? Not under no fig tree. He can't even see the stars under the fig tree. Sun barely gets down there. It's just dry and damp. Under his fig tree. He don't know nothing and can't see nothing. All of his stories, as I say, is about figs. But what the Lord is saying to him is, Nathaniel, I'll tell you what I want to do. I'd like to swap trees with you. If I can get you out from under your tree and get you under my tree, then things are going to open up. And you'll be able to see things that you've never seen before. And honey, from under the auspices of my tree, which is the cross, you'll be able to touch many, 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 many lives. As a matter of fact, my tree has room for everybody. There's room at the cross for you. Now, you think about it. Nathaniel, Jesus said to him, you're going to see angels ascending and descending. Now, can you imagine Nathaniel once he comes out from under his fig tree and he begins to walk with the Lord. You have read the New Testament, haven't you? And seen what happened where the Lord was at. And can you see him as he follows the Lord? And Nathaniel, he's overwhelmed right here. I mean, look at this man. I mean, here's how much he's seen. He's flabbergasted in verse number 19. Nathaniel answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. And Jesus said, do you believe I'm the Son of God just because I said you is under a fig tree? He said, Nathaniel, you ain't seen nothing yet, boy. If I can get you under my tree. And can you see Nathaniel as he follows Jesus? And can you see him if I don't know when he plugged in and what all he's seen. But could you imagine if Nathaniel was there when Jesus cast the devil out of the maniac of Gadara? Wow! I ain't never seen nothing like that. Look at that boy as he cast the devil and he's clothed in his... Woo! Wait till I tell mama when I get home and the kids. I suppose he was on the ship when the storm came that night. And Jesus stood on the side of that and old Nathaniel sitting over there looking at him. He stands up and he commands the winds and the seas to be calm and they do. And he said, man alive, woo! I ain't never seen nothing like this. I can't wait to get home. Tell everybody. He sees the woman healed with the issue of blood. And he said, man, this is wonderful. Can you imagine being there, the eyewitness to these things? And then one day he's standing there at a tomb and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forward. And a dead man comes a-floating out. Hey, that's a little better than fig stores. Your grandyoungins might be interested in that. Grandpa, can you tell me again about that man? Did he sink when he come out? They said he's in there 4 days. Was it? No, honey, when he come out, he didn't sink. He was well alive. And they took that off of him. And I'll tell you, he said, oh, Grandpa, tell it again. I don't want to hear that again. And what about did you see him walking on the water? I was there when he walked on that water too. Oh, Grandpa, that's just wonderful. Grandpa, would you tell us the one about where he fed the 5,000? You was there when he done that. Did you say it was five loaves, son, and 2 feet? Oh, Grandpa, tell me about it. Did you help him? Did you put the bread in it? Yeah, I did, and he broke it and fed the multitudes. Oh, Grandpa, that's good. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I want to have some stories for my youngins that has a little bit of heaven mixed in it. Has some divine to it. That can't be explained. And the reason why is because I hadn't been trying to operate my little world. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, he left his world to come into this world. So he could pull you out of your world into his world. So he could do something for this world. He said, the only thing wrong with you, Nathaniel, you ain't seen nothing. Come here. I'm going to show you some things that you ain't never seen. You know, that's one of the things that got me where the Lord wanted me to be as far as the call of evangelism. Every time I get up and preach, pastoring, and this is what the Lord was shifting in my heart, He'd say, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm wanting to show you something. Come on. I said, it's killing me. I'm thinking, Lord, I want to see everything you want to show me. He said, you can't see it from here. You got to get out from under your tree. You got to reach beyond your world and know that there's a world out there that has it, but they can't be helped unless it comes from the shadow of the cross. And all that the Lord would let you be His hand extended. As you move beyond your little system and your little world to reach out and touch somebody else's world. There's a old mountain man back in the hills of North Carolina that I love. And he writes songs with a little folklore to it, but it has a gospel base to it. And he wrote a song. And I can't sing the song, I'll just tell you the gist of it. In that song, he tells about a king that places a boulder in the middle of a highway or byway in years gone by. He goes up into the woods and he watches the traveler bys as they pass by, as they come to that boulder to see how they're going to react. And in that song, he tells the story of one passerby, one traveler after another, comes to that boulder and with disgust and contempt, upset that it's in their way, they just kind of make the best they can and make their way around it. And they head on, not thinking about the next person that may be coming their way. Maybe a person in an emergency, a person that's sick having to get to the town, or a person that's hungry having to get to food or water. They're not thinking about theirs. They just make, and one by one, they just edge their way around or crawled over the rock and grumbled as they went. And then finally there came an humbled traveler. Had a heavy burden on his back. And he came to that stone that was in the middle of the highway. And he thought for a moment about all of the children that would be coming that way and all of those that would have needs would come that way. And so he took his burden to the side and laid it down. By himself he went over to the big boulder and he began to push and he began to shove with all of his might and his energy and his leverage, and finally after many hours he had pushed that huge boulder out of the byway so others could pass through. But he hadn't noticed, after he got the stone out of the way, the king had placed a pot of gold in the middle under that stone. His emphasis was this: if you're willing to get out from under your tree, if you're willing to leave your little world long enough, if you're willing to lay down your burden and help somebody with theirs, every single time you'll find that the heavenly King has laid a blessing right in the middle of somebody else's circumstance to help you and bless you. And how many times have you went out of the way to a rest home and you said, I'm going to go by and visit Sister So-and-so. Used to come to church all the time. I'm going to see if I can be a blessing to her. And when you came out, you found a pot of gold because she was a blessing to you. Moving somebody else's burden out of the way and finding a blessing for yourself. You see, what Jesus is saying to Nathanael is what He's saying to us tonight. I'd like to get you out of your thoughts. I'd like to get you out of your little world. I'd like to get you out of your complaints. I'd like to get you away from your opinions. I'd just like to bring you over into my world. And I'd like to show you some things that you'll never, ever forget. I'm sure that several of us could give some illustrations, but you know, it's such a blessing to see the hand of the Lord when you're operating under the cross. And I love to tell this story. Several years ago when I was pastoring, there was a dear lady in our church, Miss Smith. She was up in years, a wonderful Christian. But she got down ill and she was in, Sister Patsy, in the hospital. And because she was up in age, I had preached many funerals. And you can't live forever, you know. I mean, we're all going to have to die sometime. And so I had preached many folks' funerals that were elderly. And I just realized, you know, that that's just nature and that's God's timing and all that. But for some reason, the Lord dealt with my heart about Miss Smith. And I just didn't feel like it was time. I'm not within myself, but He was just impressing on my heart, it's not time for her to go. She was in the hospital there in Crossnore, And she had been, what is the term? She didn't know anything for 2 weeks. And in the coma for 2 weeks. Hadn't eaten anything. They had all of the needles and all of the medicines and everything in her. And boy, that thing just kept eating away at me. And then I stood at the door of her room that last night, and the doctor came out and talked to her son. She only had one child in this world. Her husband had already passed off. And I never heard a doctor say this. He said to her son, if you know what funeral home you want to use, then you need to go ahead and call them, because we've lost most of the vital signs and she's down right at the end. I turned from that man, Brother Ken, just as real as when the Lord saved me, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, do you want me to heal her? And I said, Lord, are you talking to me? He said, yeah, I'm talking to you. Do you want me to? I said, the worst in the world. I don't know why. He said, well, ask me. It was all on his doings, not mine. He knew what he had in plan. He said, well, ask me. I said, Lord, would you heal Miss Smith? You can ask my wife. And you could go back to the church I pastored and they'll all tell you the same story. And if Miss Smith hadn't went to heaven in her 90s serving the Lord, she'd tell you the same thing. Here's a woman that hadn't eaten a bite in 2 weeks. I'm telling you the truth. That the next morning she had no needles, no nothing on her, nothing plugged in, nothing, sitting on the side of her bed eating breakfast. The doctor came in and he said, I about passed out. He walked by her room, saw her sitting on the side of the bed. That very day. You know, they're supposed to wheel you out for insurance purposes. All the nurses lined the hall, and she walked out of that hospital. I went by her house two days later just to rejoice with her, and guess what she's doing? Digging potatoes. You say, preacher, what was that all about? Well, nothing new with me is what the Lord wanted to do with her. And I'm going to tell you what. That woman is a good woman, a saved woman. I don't know if you can understand this. I'm sure you can. He filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, every life that she come in contact with, she touched mightily. She wanted to move down close to her son in Hickory, and she moved in a retirement center down there. And we go down there to visit her. And listen, the people that owned that made this statement. They said, we don't, after she'd only been there 2 months, they said, we don't make a decision in this place until we go into that lady's room and have her pray for us. We had a revival up in the mountains, and she brought a busload of those people down there, and an old man come up to the altar that night, and he got saved. And a week or so later, I went back down there to visit her. I was in her room talking to her, and that man burst in the room. He said, preacher, I don't want to be rude and interrupt you, but he said, I just wanted to come tell you I got saved the other night at your church. I said, hallelujah. He said, but I'd have never been saved or come there if it hadn't been for this woman that told me about the Lord. Now this will blow your mind. Lady that owned the retirement center, she said, preacher, we got a dog here, and I know you think I'm speaking, but he said, I think they can communicate. Said the dog won't sleep in no room but hers, and said everything she says to him, he understands. You say, what is that? That ain't no fig story. Huh? You say, preacher, I'd like to have a story. Just get out from under your tree. Get over into his world. And then watch the angels. Did you see that one? Did you see that angel is in? You see that in descending? Well, hang around long enough and you will. I'm preaching on from your world, whatever it is, unto his world. Let's stand and bow our heads and